If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This might be an easy question. It might be a hard question, though. It also might be an unfair question. And because of that, I'm not going to make anybody answer it. So last week I told you, like, the teachers go out and, like, find out what questions the students have. I won't do that to you this morning, though. It might be enlightening. And the question is this. The question I'll put before you is, what was the driving force that got you into this building this morning? Not what vehicle you drove here, but what motivation? Did you get up and decide that you were going to come to St. Luke's this morning? I mean, what gave you the energy to do that? My guess is, for the 50 or so people here, we might have 50 different answers, but I bet we could clump them into a lot of different groupings. I mean, it might have just been the motivation is you just don't know what else to do on Sunday morning. This is just what you do. You might have gotten up and thought you didn't want to go and thought, well, I'm obligated to go. I've got a duty to be there. You might be here this morning because you would feel guilty if you didn't show up. You might have showed up this morning because you're afraid if you don't show up, something won't get done here that's supposed to get done, and you're the only person who can do it. You might have showed up this morning because you were afraid of what somebody else might think of you that you knew would be here, and if they saw you weren't, there might be a sprain. Sometimes people show up because they're hoping to make a connection that they want to leverage in some other part of their life later that week. So they need somebody to do something for them, and they know where that person will be, and they'll be here because of maybe one of these other reasons already, because they felt guilty or obligated or dutiful to do it. Maybe somebody here, and this might actually be of all of those motivations the best one of all, you're not sure how you got here. You just became aware of the world this morning, and you were already at St. Luke's. And this seems like a question that would be easy to answer or not easy to answer, but it is a question that is a question I call a question of discernment, which is, of all the things that you do in your spiritual life, getting up and going to church, that's kind of like square one. That's not square 10. That might be square one. And when you start to uncover what actually got you here this morning, if you start to peel back the layers of why you do what you do or why you did what you did today, if you dig one like strata of another, just keep taking the shovel there, everybody would probably admit, maybe not, we'll talk about that in a little bit, that if you get down to the bottom of those strata and you find out that what was not motivating you was love, there is probably something wrong. That the motivation that should get you here, in fact, this would be the Sunday school answer. In fact, if I, was really putting it to you and somebody wanted to give the, like, answer the teacher liked, you would say, well, I got here this morning because I love to go to church. But I know that's not true. I know that's not true because people tell me it's not true. I did do that at some point, went out in the crowd and asked folks, just not this morning. But we all know that what we should be motivated by is love. And yet we find other motivations to at least temporarily be acceptable substitutes. And that's when we're being generous with ourselves. And sometimes we take it to the next level. We decide, actually, those are just fine motivations as well. But the passages this morning go out of their way to say that the life that we have in Christ is a life that's about abiding in love. And abiding in love doesn't mean just the decision you made this morning to get here. That means the decision that you made yesterday afternoon about how to spend your time. It's a decision that you're going to make this afternoon or tomorrow when you go to work. That each decision, when you start to peel back the layers, you ought to find love underneath motivating you. That's what abiding in love is. That's what Christ is inviting us into. But when we find these other things, we should know this morning that it's wrong. We should know tomorrow that it's wrong. We should know a month from now that it's wrong. That if what you start to uncover is fear, if what you start to uncover are feelings of low self-worth, what you start to uncover, even though we think these are just valuable characteristics of duty and obligation, those things are not love. And when you get there and find that out, you are not abiding in love. Finding out what motivates you is the first question of discernment. And that's a process that you're going to get a letter about this week that this parish is going to go through. And the first question is, in each moment of every day, why am I doing what I'm doing? If you find that it's not love, that's where discernment starts. Because discernment is about finding out your motivation, finding out what you're called to do, and finding out how you get between those two things. To turn those motivations that are not love into love. Now, I know this is a huge ask, and it seems to be like a little simplistic to say that, like, what you are ultimately trying to do is figure out how to do the things that you're motivated by love. And it is hard, and it's hard for a couple of reasons. One is, if that is your benchmark of what you're supposed to be doing, what you're called to be doing, number one, when you start to uncover things that aren't motivated by love, you got to ask yourself a hard question. The first question is, should I be doing this thing? Because a lot of the things that we do that are not motivated by love, we do them for these other reasons that are not love. And the reason that that is hard for us is because obligation and duty and guilt and shame and fear, those are things that give you burdens. And as Jesus said, or as John says of Jesus, because he heard it from him, these commandments to abide in love, it is not burdensome. And so the first part of discernment, when you discover something that you're doing that's not motivated by love, is to say, should I be doing this at all? Or is this something that I should give up? And often it is the loss, the fear of the loss, that prevents us from allowing love to come in and abide. The other thing to note is, if it's not something you should be doing, it's an indifferent task. If you find that something you're doing that's not motivated by love, it could be that that action can't be motivated by love. There are certain things that we do to one another. There are certain things that we do in our society. They cannot be motivated by love. Manipulation and taking advantage, dispossessing people, excluding people, these are all actions that cannot be motivated by love. And if you discover that in your discernment, you might need to do something else. Repent, or confess. But the other thing I think is most dangerous here is when you dig down in there, because this is, you know, when I tell you everything you should do should be motivated by love, you're going to say, well, stuff just doesn't get done. Because that's the real danger here. The reason we've let other things start to motivate it, because you might get down there and say, yeah, this is what I'm motivated by, but if I wasn't motivated by this, we wouldn't get anything done ever. Love's soft. Love's not hard. It's not action-oriented. We have to be practical about this stuff. And if we're going to be practical, it cannot be motivated by love. It must be motivated by something else. And the reason I know this is to be true, because all those reasons I ask if you were at church this morning are all reasons people use to tell people to come to church. Because they're obligated to. Because they've got a duty to. because they should be afraid if they don't. Those aren't things that we've used and said are bad. Those are things that we have used and said, that's okay. So sometimes when we get down and we get below something that we've done and we discover that it is not love, the most dangerous thing we can do is to say that thing is a good substitute right now. And it cannot substitute. It cannot. And the reason it cannot is because the things that you do, that you should do, that should be motivated by love, if you have said fear is an acceptable substitute, you will start to do those things out of fear too. If there's anything at all that you believe to be worthy and holy and good, and you say anxiety is a good enough reason for doing that, you will start to say anxiety is a good enough reason for doing anything, when it should be love that is motivating you to do it. Now, I told you on Easter, the craziest thing that we're asked to believe in here is that God could raise someone from the dead, not just Jesus, but ourselves. But I think that the hardest thing that God has asked us to do is to give up the control that we want in our lives and say, I will be motivated by love and I will accept no other substitutes. Because we might think we won't get anything done. We might think that starts to make us feel ashamed when we're not motivated by love. But when you find, finally, that you uncover something that you know should be motivated by love, and it's not, it's not about trying harder to love. It's about letting that other motivation go. To allow love to move in. We often crowd these things out. We crowd them out with our better motivations. We crowd them out with our feeling bad about things that we're not doing. We let it crowd it out about the fear that something won't get done if we don't do it. But it's not that you say, love, come in. It's that you say to those things, get out. So once you've done the discernment, you've decided, yes, love is not doing this. I need to let this thing go. Yes, love is not motivating this, but that's something love couldn't motivate. If you get to the place and say, yes, love is not motivating this thing, and I'll accept no substitutes, that is when you ask that thing to leave. And I tell you what will backfill it, what is promised to backfill it, is love. That's the hardest thing that we are asked to do, is to say that love can motivate everything. And if we allow love to motivate everything, and not some other thing that drives us, the world will be conquered. That's what John tells him. He says, this is your faith that conquers the world. And the faith that conquers the world isn't some dogmatic list of things about who Jesus is. The faith that conquers the world is to say, I can be motivated by love, and I will strive to be motivated by love in all that I do. And I will accept no substitutes. I will accept no idols. I will accept nothing else that moves in and says, well, you could do it for this reason. You can't. If you should be doing it, it should come from love. And that is the faith that conquers the world. So you're going to be in a process of discernment. You're going to discern together. You're going to discern individually. And you're going to sit down, and the first thing you're going to say, and when you meet Leanne Fugelli in a couple weeks, whatever session you go to, she's going to say, you're getting ready to move. What are you taking with you? And you're going to sit down and say, am I motivated by love? Now, there's a little bit of an appendix on this sermon And that's this. I realize that those reasons that I gave, that people come to church, they're not all the reasons. And I want to just very quickly cover one other one. That is that people come to church because they're hurting. People come to church because they're longing. People come to church because they're searching. People come to church because they are not feeling whole. And I want to be clear about one thing. Love motivates all of those. It doesn't motivate them because it is the sense behind you feeling hurt or feeling alone. It is the motivation of a magnet that is drawing you to this place. That is why the rest of us who didn't come in that state this morning must learn to be motivated by love, so that when the magnet draws them here, it is really here in the first place. So those people who are searching for love will find it, because the people that have formed this place are motivated by it. Amen.